John chapter 2. Now, we looked at the first miracle our Lord performed, and it was in this little town of Cana of Galilee. The first 11 verses tell us that twice, that he was in Cana of Galilee. That was a little mountain town. There was nobody, it was anybody that lived there. I love that old black quartet sang a song, said, "I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody." But our Lord didn't come for the mighty, the noble. The wise, the mighty, and the noble, we came for the nothings and the nobodies. Came in this world to save sinners. The gospel means good news. It's good news how Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. They're lost, he came to find them. They're dead, he came to raise them. They're unrighteous, he came to make them righteous. Salvation's of the Lord, complete them. His work. But that's the good news, isn't it? Salvation is of the Lord. He came to seek and to save the lost, and he finds them. The gospel is all about him. This is a hymn book. This is not Jewish history. It is his story from start to finish. He is called the beginning and the end. Genesis 1, in the beginning God. That's Christ. All things were made by him. The last two words in the Bible, the end. He made an end of sin. He put an end. He finished the work of redemption. So the Gospel of John, like Matthew and Mark and Luke, it's the story of him who came to save. To save from sin, save people that were in the darkness of sin, and to save people from the darkness of religion. Scripture says, if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? And religion today doesn't even resemble the truth. All right, this is what our Lord did when he came to Jerusalem. Now look at verse 12. It says, after this, after he left Cana of Galilee, that little mountain town, he went down to Capernaum. He and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. He went down to Capernaum. Now, he left this mountain town, and he descended and went down into this little coastal village called Capernaum. Now, they were mountain people up in Cana. There were nobodies in Cana. They were worse in Capernaum. That's near Nazareth. As said, even Nathaniel said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And everybody in Jerusalem said, he talked about these Galileans. They're just a bunch of fishermen. That's all they were. We've got some fishermen in here, but that's not, y'all are pretty decent fellas. Fairly. But we're talking about longshoremen, men that out there at sea all the time, cussing, like Simon Peter. He didn't. When the Lord left him alone just for a minute, he reverted right back to that old cussing, brawling sailor where he found him. And that's what kind of people lived there, rough. And that's who he came down for. Since he came down, and this is a picture of how our Lord condescended. He who dwelled in the heavens, the right hand of the Majesty on high, in a high and holy place. Isaiah said, but his delights were with the sons of men. He came down and he said, to this man will I look. This is who I dwell with. He is a poor and a contrite heart, and trembleth at my word. Now, why would anybody tremble at his word? If he puts the fear of God in them, if he makes them to know what sinners they are against God, to makes them to know how holy and righteous he is, how he will by no means clear the guilty, makes them to know that He's the true and living God who is angry with the wicked every day. Not like religion said. God loves everybody without exception. Now, this is the God of the Bible who's angry with the wicked every day. And when you hear that, when you find out what you are from God's Word, you tremble. And that's what God said. This is who I dwell with. This is who I come for. And He has to make you tremble. He has to reveal Himself to you as He truly is. He has to reveal yourself to you to see your need of His salvation. You can't save yourself. You can't make yourself righteous. That's who He came down for. He came down. Listen to Ephesians 4. It says that Ephesians 4, He ascended. But it says He first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same that ascended. But David said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" For the Son of God to leave His throne in glory where everyone loved Him and everyone, all the angels adored Him and sang His praises, and it was holy and righteous and lovely and everything's marvelous, to come down to this place where everybody on this planet said, "We don't want you. Get out." And eventually they all said, "Kill Him." Why would He do that? Because He's God, not man.
Amen.
They're lost, don't know it. Dead, don't know it. Blind, don't know it. Hate God and don't know it. But God. Rich in love. Not everybody, but somebody. Nobody worth loving. But God. He loves many. Chose to save many. It is descended. For Him to come to this place, this planet, which He calls this present evil world. Mm-hmm. And for Him to come here was infinite condescension. It would be like us going down into a cesspool. A septic tank. To rescue some filthy creature in that. That's everything on this earth was repulsive to His holy nature. He could read the thoughts of men. We just see a little bit of mankind's evil. A little bit. Just a little bit of what the news shows us or what we hear all around. Just a little bit. He heard everything. He heard the thoughts of men. But He came to save some. Many. He did. He went down to Capernaum. This is truly a faithful saying. This is one of our favorite scriptures in it, Brother John. It's a faithful saying that Christ came into the world to save sinners. What kind of sinners? Hell-deserving sinners. No good sinners. That's the only kind there are, really. But everybody doesn't think that about themselves. A lot of people think they're moral and our Lord, like the Pharisees, He said, "To men you appear white as sepulchres, but I know you. I can look on your heart. I know what you're thinking." This is a faithful saying that worthy of all acceptation. Christ came to the world to save sinners. And Paul said, "And I'm the chief. I'm the worst." He said, "I'm an example of who He came to save." Saul of Tarsus, he was in religion. He was one of these Pharisees that hated Christ. Hated Him. Because He threatened his lifestyle. He rebuked and condemned his religion. For show. All right, He came down. It says he and his mother and his brethren, his disciples, preached a message years ago on he and his. Oh, our Lord, who did He come for? Listen to this. I love this. Luke, let's see if I can find it. I didn't write it down. I think. It says he went up into a mountain. They called whom He would, and they came to Him. That's who will come, all that the Father gave Him, come to Him. It says he came down with them and stood in the plain. He came down. He who was on high came down, way down, stooped way down for the likes of us and stood with them in the plain. A man with a plain, I like to say, a plain brown wrapper. He clothed himself in the likeness of sinful flesh. He robed himself in flesh, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Robed himself in flesh, and very few people knew who he was because he looked just like a man. And they called him Jesus, and that's what people call him today. They think of him just as a man. But no, this is God manifested in the flesh. And three men, James, John, Peter, he took up on a mountain one day and peeled back that flesh for them to see who he really is. God. And they never called him Jesus. They called him Lord. Thomas hit his knees and said, "My Lord and my God. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord." That's who he came. And it says he stood in the plain and a company of his disciples. Oh, my. We stand in him. No, we stand on him, the solid rock. We stand in him, the cleft of the rock. And brethren, I'm here to tell you from the word of God, he stands with you. He stands with you. He'll stand with you. You'll stand in him if you believe him and trust him and look to him alone. You'll stand in the judgment, uncondemned, faultless to stand for the presence of his glory. He's the one, only one able to present us like that. We can't do it. And he'll stand with you. Like old Stephen. Don't you love that story, Stephen? When he was being stoned, all of the religious people were stoned for telling the truth. About how evil they were, how evil man is, and how holy God is, and they didn't like that. And how they killed the Son of God. No, we didn't do that. Yes, you did. I did. Went for years, didn't give him a thought. That means I didn't care if he lived or died. But God. Stephen was declaring the truth about man, about God, about Jesus Christ, and everybody took up stones to stone him for telling the truth. And as he fell down, said, "Lord Jesus, like our Lord, lay not this to their charge." And it says he looked up and he says, I see him, Jesus Christ. Now Christ, after he purged our sins, Hebrews said, 1:3, he says, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He sat down. His work was finished. Like the high priest of... I may not get past this verse, but that's all right. The high priest... There were no chairs in the tabernacle of old because his work was never finished. No chairs. They had to keep offering the same sacrifices over and over. Hebrews says it can't put away sin. It's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats put away sin. No ceremonies, no rites, no anything we do will put away sin. But Christ came once in the end of the world to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. By one offering, he said, "I perfected forever them that sanctify." To obtain eternal redemption, one person for so many. And he did it. He did. There were no chairs in the old temple, but in glory, there's no temple in glory. He is the temple. But it says he went back, having finished the work, and sat down. Now you don't sit down until your job is finished, do you? He sat down. It says, expected. He's not standing outside people's heart's door. No, he's seated. Well, when Stephen was being stoned, it says, I see him standing. The Lord Jesus Christ stood up in honor of this man who stood for him. The one who died for Stephen stood up in honor of the man who's dying for him. Oh, my. Okay. Verse 13. Now the Jews' Passover was at hand. Hold on. Whose Passover? The first time the word Passover is mentioned, it's called the Lord's Passover. Right? He's the one. The Jews didn't know anything about Passover. They didn't know anything about a lamb. They didn't even know God until God revealed himself to them. Chose them, the Jews. Sons of Jacob, Jews. And so God was the one who revealed their need of a Passover lamb. That they were in Egypt. This is Exodus 12. They were in Egypt in captivity, in bondage, in the slime pits. And that's us. That's planet Earth. They were in Egypt, the world. In the slime pits, in bondage to Pharaoh, like we are by nature to the God of this world. In the slime pit, this is a dung heap, scriptures call it. That's right. Can't you smell it? Can't you see it? And God chose these people out of all the people, not the Egyptians, these people, his people. Sons of Jacob. Jacob have I done. To reveal to them the way out. There's one way. One truth. One way to live. God's going to kill every firstborn in Egypt. So God said to his chosen people, he revealed to them the way. A substitute. An innocent victim. A spotless lamb. Who would die the death they deserved because they were no better by nature than the Egyptians. And God revealed that to all of them without exception. You're just like the Egyptians, but I came to make a difference between you and them. And the principal difference being that lamb. He gave them that lamb, that blood. Who is that lamb? It's Christ, the Lamb of God. John in chapter 1 said, behold, the Lamb of God. The Passover Lamb. And God said, you must have a lamb for a house. Every man, every woman has to have a lamb. Why? Because you're all sinners. You can't be righteous. You can't do it. You can't pay for your sins. You can't do it. They're too many. And you'll never quit sinning. See, somebody's got to take your place. The soul that sinneth must surely die. So God sent his son without spot and without blemish, the Holy One, born of a virgin, no seed of man in him, no sin in him. The Son of the Most High God became a man, took on him the likeness of sinful flesh, but no sin in him. And God was well pleased, Isaiah says, for his righteousness' sake. And God, for his sinful people, switched places. Substitute. He said, son, you take all of their sin in your body on the tree, and I'm going to kill you for it. I'm going to kill you for what they've done. I'm going to shed your blood for what they've done. And I'm going to give them what you've done. I'm going to make them holy and righteous. I'm going to give them what you've done. I'm going to robe them like the lamb was skinned and stripped of its coat. Our Lord was stripped on Calvary's tree. And God's people get that robe of his righteousness to cover our sin. It's the Passover. And God said, now when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Who did he say that to? His people. Those he revealed the need for a substitute. I will pass over you. And the plague of sin, the plague of death, will not come nigh you. He that believeth on the Son shall never die. Why? Because Christ died. Everyone for whom Jesus Christ died lives. Everyone who had a lamb in Egypt lived. Not one died because of that lamb. He was called the Lord's Passover. And that's what he said to his people. He said, now you do this from now on, typified by the table, a symbol of Christ crucified, his body broken, his blood shed, the Lamb. And he said, now this is the Lord's Passover. It's to remember what he has done. You don't do it as a work. You don't do it as a habit, as a ritual. You don't do it because you're supposed to. You do it in remembrance of him who did what he did for you.
Amen.
Otherwise, it's an abomination to God. Otherwise, it degenerates into ceremonies and rituals and going through the motions. And that's what religion did, and that's what religion does right now. The Jews' Passover. It had degenerated. And these Pharisees and these scribes and these Sadducees, they were all holy men in their holy robes and all that, and they all thought they were holy and righteous and kept the law and all that. And it was an abomination to God. Going through the rituals is an abomination. Our Lord said, when Daniel, I wanted to get to Daniel, maybe not. Yeah, turn over there. Turn over to Daniel. When our Lord said in Matthew 24 concerning the last days, the end time, he said, when you see the abomination of desolation in the temple, you know it's time, that he's not, he's coming. Well, what was it? What was the abomination of desolation? It was idolatry. It was going through the motions. It was religion for a show. It was religion for gain. It was religion to make money and all that. And Daniel prayed. Look at Daniel chapter 9. I love his prayer, if we have time. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. I set my face of the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Prayed unto the Lord my God and made my what? Confession. Daniel's the finest man you'll ever see in Scripture, but he said, I'm a sinner. I need saving. Oh, Lord, great and dreadful. Who in religion today knows anything about the great and dreadful God? Fear of the Lord. You don't hear that anymore. Keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him. Verse 5, we've sinned, we've committed iniquity. We've rebelled, departing from thy precept, thy judgment. We haven't hearkened unto the prophets. Verse 7, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. But unto us confusion of faces. We trespass. Verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, but we've rebelled against him. That's now, isn't it? Go on down to verse 24, for the sake of time. Daniel 9:24. Now this book, like every other book, speaks of Christ and him crucified. That's what the whole book is about. Jesus Christ and him crucified. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and anoint the most holy. Who's that talking about? Jesus Christ. Who made an end of sin. Who put away sin. I've already quoted that. Who made reconciliation for his people. Who brought in an everlasting righteousness. Who sealed up the vision. That is, it all speaks of him, the prophecy. To him give all the prophets witness. And to anoint him, to crown him, the Christ, the Most High. Read on. It says in verse 26, after 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off, not for himself. Isaiah 53, our brother preached from that, didn't he? He was cut off. out of the land of the living. Why? Not for himself, but a substitute, sin offering. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city, the sanctuary, and down in verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for a week. He's confirmed it with us, hasn't he? First Corinthians, he talks about to the Corinthians about God who shall confirm you. And in the midst of the week, he'll cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. He put away the sacrifices Christ did by his one sacrifice. But now, if you don't know him, you still need a lamb, don't you? The Jews quit sacrificing lambs. I don't know when, but when our Lord came, there's no mention of them ever shedding blood. You know that? No mention of them. And they had completely left the truth. There was no lamb in their religion. Like Isaac that went up on that mountain, which our brother preached on that in Genesis 22. Isaac went up with Abraham on the mountain to worship God. And Isaac asked his father. That boy knew what most religious professors don't know today, what people don't know today. He said, here's the fire. Here's the wood. We've got all this Holy Ghost fire. We've got all these wood, hay, and stubble, and all these edifices, all that in the name of God. Where's the lamb? Isaac said, where's the lamb? We can't come to God without a lamb, without blood, without the shedding of blood. There's no remission of sin. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It's for Christ's sake. It's him. It should be in the name of Christ. Everything you do should be in the name of Jesus Christ for his glory, his honor, looking to him, trusting him alone. Not what you do, not what you how you look. Him, it's who you look to. Where's the lamb? Isaac said. And Abraham answered that prophetic and all-inclusive statement of the gospel. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Burnt. Why was the lamb burnt? Because God is a consuming fire. That same God is going to burn this world up someday. And the modern man thinks that's old foolish talk. But no, that's Bible. So it had become an abomination. Everything in the temple, everything in religion today, everything that not concerning Jesus Christ and him crucified, everything that is not for the glory of God, truly, God, if it's not giving him all the glory, it's giving man some of it. If it's not completely in his name, it's in man's name. It's an abomination. It's the abomination of desolation. It's an abomination. Desolation. Ichabod is written over the door. The glory hath departed. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:6. Look back at our text. So he came to the temple. I got to quit, but it says he came to the temple. Now this is Malachi 3 where it says the Lord shall suddenly come to his temple. And who shall abide the day of his coming? It said he's like a refiner's fire. Our Lord said, I have come to bring fire on the earth. Oh, how religion doesn't know anything about this. This Christ, the true Christ. They called him gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He said, I have come to bring fire on the earth. He said, suppose ye have come to bring peace on the earth? He said, nay, but rather a sword. Didn't it? I've come to separate. I've come to set a man at variance. Didn't he say that? You know that. A few people did. But he found in that this is the Lord who shall suddenly come to his temple, a refiner's fire and fuller's soap, Malachi 3. And he found in the temple, verse 14, those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting there. Fundraisers. That's what they were doing. Raising money in the name of God. keep their religion afloat so they could build more buildings to raise more money. Fundraisers. Now, brethren, salvation is free. You know that? Salvation is by the free grace of God, the free gift of God. It doesn't cost you anything. Shouldn't cost anybody anything. He said, come unto me without money, without price. It's an abomination to charge money for anything in the house of God. Is there anything that goes on in the house of God other than the worship of God is an abomination of God. You know, it was called the Jews' Passover. Well, now, today, people go to church. Used to go to the house of God. Used to go to worship. I knew a man, a young preacher, John and I went through the preacher school with. And he told his children, he said, we're going to go worship the Lord this morning. He never would say we're going to church. As one wise man said, you don't go to church. You are the church. Church is not a building. It's not a place you go to. It's an assembly of the saints. It's where God dwells. You're the temple of God. And, you know, this building, this is wood, hay, and stubble. This not won't be one stone left standing on another. This is not a holy place. Nothing in this place is holy. That water up there, it's just Franklin County well water. There's just nothing holy about it. Nothing holy about this place. But he whom we worship is. And what we do in the name of Christ for the glory of God and worship Him who's holy. And we come doing the same thing that the people were to do in the Old Testament. A lamb. A man with a sacrifice offering up blood before the Lord. And that's symbolic of the preaching of the gospel. Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. They're going to do one thing. The church of old did one thing. They worshiped God. They came together to pray, to read God's word, to sing the songs of praise to God, and to hear a man get up with a Bible and preach God's word, preach Christ. That's what they did. Nothing else. And your religion today is degenerated from God's house into a family. This is for the family. Music and singing that's supposed to be strictly for the glory of God from the heart has degenerated into entertainment. Rock gospel. There ain't no such thing. It's an abomination to God. And our Lord took a whip. Now this is who they call gentle Jesus. And he walked outside and carefully and deliberately. And he's not smiling. He doesn't love these people. He doesn't love these people. He's angry. And he plats a whip. And it says he goes in there and he starts thrashing everybody. And he kicked over those tables, that money. He said, you've made it a den of thieves. It's called a house of prayer. House of worship. You made it merchandise. It's all about money. It's all about man. It's all about having fun. It's all about entertainment. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Sinners praying to God for mercy. Sinners thanking God for Jesus Christ coming down to this despicable place and saving them. He was angry. And God, this is the same Jesus, Hebrews 13:8. The same yesterday, today, and forever, who's angry with the wicked right now. No, people don't know it. You know it. You're so blessed to hear what you're hearing, to hear who you're hearing. And he's coming again. Coming again. To do what? To destroy the world and take his people, true worshipers, Lord, with you. What are they going to be doing? The same thing they're doing now. Worshiping the Lamb. Unto Him. Unto Him. Unto Him. It's all about Him. He said, okay.